revenues are holding up. This despite all those airplanes that are parked, both the ones that Southwest had been flying, but also the ones that they're supposed to be flying right now. Looks like kind of a remarkable quarter. Gary Kelly's the CEO and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Terrific to be with you, David.
Yeah, Wall Street loves pleasant surprises. How did you engineer around this and come out with decent numbers? This has just been terrible. It's been going on for 6 months.
Oh, it has been terrible. But, you know, I have to give our people the credit. They have done a phenomenal job. So that we've had to replan the airline several times to take these airplanes out of service and not take bookings for them. And there's just a lot more work involved with that than one might think, because it's a good 5% of our fleet. But the operation is as good as it has been in years. So that was a plus, and that was our objective. We wanted to run a really good airline. Of course, we always do, but especially so now. And then the customers are very happy. And the cost performance was better than we had budgeted. And our folks have really buckled down there. There's a huge penalty that we're incurring because of the MAX grounding. And obviously, we're going to seek to recover those damages from Boeing directly, and that those negotiations continue. But, you know, in a nutshell, David, if it weren't for the MAX, everything would be just about perfect. So I'm real proud of our people, and it's a very solid earnings result. As you know, it was a record. So the company's very healthy and in a great position to withstand this, you know, the challenge of dealing with the MAX.
Have you got a meter going someplace? Do you have a sense of what the grounding of the 737 MAX has cost you so far?
Yeah, for the year to date, it was $435 million, and that's in the release. For the quarter, I think it was $210 million. So it's big money. It's about, you know, roughly $50 million a month in climbing. And it's, you know, there's a huge investment, obviously, in 34 airplanes, and they're just sitting there. Obviously that's very damaging. So what we are flying, the demand is very, very strong. So it's a very healthy travel business right now, and you know, as far as we can see going into next year, that will continue. So again, except for the MAX, everything else is going very, very well.
Yeah, I guess if this has to happen, and nobody could see this one coming, this is the time to happen. I mean, the economy is strong. Everybody seems to want to fly. The fares seem to have a lot of integrity. And so in that sense, it's good. It's happening during a good economic period. But it's bad if you're starting service to a whole new area and you were starting a major initiative into Hawaii and counting on a bunch of new aircraft to help you.
You are so right. I mean, I think there's a lot of things to be grateful for, as usual. You know, fuel prices are moderate, the economy is strong, and you know, we're well resourced, if you will, because it's a very people-intensive business in the airlines. But yeah, we launched service to Hawaii in March, literally the week of the grounding of the MAX, and we've had to defer some of our expansion there, but we're following up on that with another wave of new flights in November, so next month, and then more in January. So we've had to make some pretty significant route changes in order to fund that, because we just don't have additional airplanes coming in. But we're managing through it and producing a strong profit. So again, all things considered, I'm very pleased and very anxious to get the MAX situation resolved and get those airplanes back in the air, and of course safely.
Well, and I know you wanted to, you had the commitment to go into Hawaii. You want to do it. It's going to be very profitable, and I know you've been trimming. But boy, I looked at the cities you trimmed out of Dallas, both seasonal and full time, and it's staggering to me anyway. Eliminating Jacksonville, Oklahoma City, and San Francisco, then seasonal service canceled out of to Boston, Charleston, Cleveland, Detroit, Philadelphia, Seattle. That seems pretty drastic.
And that's out of Dallas. Dallas is unique, which you and I always like to laugh about. But Dallas is unique with the constraints on the capacity there. So, David, we haven't reduced our flight activity. We've simply reallocated it. So in fairness to the point, it's not related to the MAX. In this particular case, we have all kinds of demand for flights out of Dallas that we cannot meet. And so basically that restructuring was an effort to provide more depth in the markets that we can commit to on a nonstop basis. So all those that you ticked through are were one time a day flights, and we're trying to get away from that. And we'll serve those markets on a one-stop basis and give more depth to the cities that, that we can serve on a nonstop. But that's all a function of the unique right amendment restrictions in the size of the Dallas airport.
You know, as this 737 MAX grounding drags on, and I don't know, I mean, they keep missing deadlines, so let's assume that it never flies again. What do you do? I saw one analyst say, well, Southwest Airlines ought to buy Alaska Air, it ought to buy JetBlue. By the same token, Thomas Cook has about, what, 30 Airbuses that are available right now. Do you look for alternatives?
You, not yet, and I'll just give you a quick status and then try to answer your question. The Boeing is finally done with the software changes and all of the documentation that is required to accompany that, and that has all been submitted to the FAA this week, as a matter of fact. So now it, and that's a major milestone. So now it's all in the hands of the FAA. And there's a there's at least a chance that the airplane will be certified and ungrounded in December. That would be fantastic as far as I'm concerned. But if it's not December, again, assuming no other finding or no interference beyond the FAA, it shouldn't be much later than that. So given that, it would be foolish to do anything that's out of character for us to try to address this issue. Now, if for some weird reason it comes back with an answer that, no, you're going to be grounded for another year or 2 years, which I can't fathom, but that would then beg a different question. You mentioned Airbus. It would take us years to develop the internal operations capability and achieve the certifications, invest in training facilities, etc., to be able to operate a different aircraft type. And that's kind of a big strategic question for us, and one that I want us and our board wants us to tackle next year. In other words, the wisdom of continuing to be dependent upon one supplier in a single aircraft type. It has huge advantages, but perhaps it has some disadvantages too, and we'll look at that. But that's not anything that we are working on or focused on right now. And I'm, and it's just admitting to you that there's a question. It's not at all trying to prejudge what the answer to that question might be. Historically, we've concluded that we're better off sticking with a single aircraft type, the Boeing 737.
You know, one of the things I've heard, and I'll end with this, but is that this 737 MAX fundamentally really was a new airplane. That unlike the other iterations of the 737, where they're just variations of this and that, here with you know engine placements and other things, that it really was tantamount to a whole new airplane.
Yeah, not true. And you know it is different than the current what was then called the next gen airplane or the 737-700 and 737-800. Its predecessor was the 737-300, and this airplane is very different. But from the NG to the MAX is an evolution. You know, I think any of our pilots you would ask would tell you that. So they perform virtually the same, although there are definitely some different changes or some changes to the aircraft. But fundamentally, it just has a different engine. But so did the 800, and then so did the 300. So it's been a you know all-time bestseller in aviation history, going back to the 1960s, and. You know, our track record is all 737. It sort of speaks for itself. We're one of the safest airlines in the world. So we believe in it. We believe the MAX 8 is the best narrow-body airplane in the world as well.
Well, and again, congratulations on a really remarkable quarter that I don't think anybody thought possible. considering the handicaps you had. Gary Kelly, CEO of Southwest Airlines, thanks for the time.
Thank you, David. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Gary Kelly, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.